Knock Knock by Chuck Palahniuk from the book Make Something Up, Stories You Can't Unread. My old man, he makes everything into a big joke. What can I say? The old man loves to get a laugh. Growing up, half the time, I didn't have a clue what his jokes were about, but I laughed anyways. Down at the barber shop, it didn't matter how many guys my father let take cuts ahead of him in line. He just wanted to sit there all Saturday and crack people up. Make folks bust a gut. Getting his haircut was definitely a low priority. He says, "Stop me if you've heard this one before." The way my old man tells it, he walks into the oncologist's office and he says, "After the chemotherapy, will I be able to play the violin?" In response, the oncologist says, "It's metastasized. You've got 6 months to live." And working his eyebrows like Groucho Marx tapping the ash from an invisible cigar, my old man says, "6 months?" He says, "I want a second opinion." So the oncologist says, "Okay, you've got cancer and your jokes stink." So they do the chemotherapy. And they give him some radiation, like they do, even if the shit burns him up so bad on the inside, that he tells me that taking a piss is like passing razor blades. He's still every Saturday down by the barbershop, telling jokes, even if now he's bald as a cue ball. I mean, he's skinny as a bald skeleton, and he's getting to haul around one of those cylinders of oxygen under pressure. Some little version of a ball and chain. He walks into the barber shop dragging that pressurized cylinder of oxygen with the tube of it going up, looping around his nose, over his ears, around his bald head, and he says, "Just a little off the top, please." And folks laugh. Understand me. My old man is no Uncle Milty. He's no Ed Gerbergen. The man's skinny as a Halloween skeleton. And bald, and going to be dead by 6 weeks. So no matter what he says, folks are gonna hee-haw like donkeys, just out of their genuine affection for him. But seriously, I'm not doing him justice. This is my fault. It's my fault if this doesn't come across. But my old man is funnier than he sounds. Maybe a sense of humor is a talent that I didn't inherit. Back when I was his little Charlie McCarthy the whole time I was growing up, he used to ask me, "Knock, knock." I'd say, "Who's there?" He'd say, "Old lady." I'd say, "Old lady who?" And he'd say, "Wow, I didn't know you could yodel." Me, I didn't get it. I was too stupid. I was 7 years old and still stuck in the first grade. I didn't know Switzerland from Shinola. But I wanted for my old man to love me, so I learned to laugh. Whatever he says, I laugh. By quote-unquote old lady, my guess is he means my mom, who ran away and left us. All my old man will say about her is how she was a quote-unquote real looker who just couldn't take a joke. She was not a good sport. He used to ask me, "When that Vinnie Van Gogh cut off his ear and sent it to that whore he was so crazy about, how'd he send it?" The punchline is he, quote, "sent it by apostrophe ear mail." But being 7 years old, I was still stuck back on not knowing who Van Gogh is or what's a whore, and nothing kills a joke faster than asking my old man to explain himself. So when my old man says, "What do you get when you cross a pig with Count Dracula?" I never knew to ask, "What's a Count Dracula?" I just get a big laugh ready for when he tells me, "A hampire." Ha ha. And then he says, "Knock, knock." And I say, "Who's there?" And he says, "Radio." And I say, "Radio who?" And he's already started to bust a gut when he says, "Radio not. I'm going to come in your mouth." Then what the hell? I just keep laughing. My whole growing up, I figure I'm just too ignorant to appreciate a good joke. Me, my teachers, still haven't covered long division and all the multiplication tables, so it's not my old man's fault that I don't know what cum is. My old lady, who abandoned us, he says she hated that joke, so maybe I inherited her lack of humor, but love. I mean, you have to love your old man. I mean, after you're born, it's not like you get a choice. Nobody wants to see their old man breathing out of some tank, going to the hospital to die sky high on morphine, and he's not eating a bite of the red flavor Jell-O they serve for dessert. Stop me if I already told you this one, but my old man gets that prostate cancer that's not even like cancer, because it takes 20, 30 years before we even know he's so sick. And the next thing I know is I'm trying to remember all the stuff he's taught me, like if you spray some WD-40 on the shovel blade before you dig a hole, the digging will go a lot easier. And he taught me how to squeeze the trigger instead of pulling it and wrecking my aim. He taught me how to remove blood stains. And he taught me jokes. Lots of jokes. And sure, he's no Robin Williams. But I watched this movie one time about Robin Williams, who gets dressed up with a red rubber ball on his nose and this big rainbow-colored afro wig and those big clown shoes with a fake carnation stuck in his buttonhole of his shirt that squirts water. And that guy's a hotshot doctor who makes these little kids with cancer laugh so hard that they stop dying. Understand me. These bald kid skeletons, who look worse off than my old man, they get healthy. And a whole movie is based on a true story. What I mean is, we all know that laughter is the best medicine. All that time being stuck in the hospital waiting room, even I read the Reader's Digest, and we've all heard the true story about the guy with the brain cancer the size of a grapefruit inside of a skull, and he's about to croak. All the doctors and priests and experts say he's a fucking goner, only he forces himself to watch non-stop movies about the Three Stooges. This stage 4 cancer guy forces himself to laugh non-stop at Abbott and Costello and Laurel and Hardy and those Marx Brothers, and he gets healed by the endorphins and the oxygenated blood. So I figure, what have I got to lose? All you need to do is remember some of my old man's favorite gags and get him starting back laughing on the road to recovery. I mean, I figure, what could it hurt? So this grown-up daughter walks into her father's hospice room, pulls up a chair beside the bed, and sits down. The daughter looks into her old man's pale, dying face and says, so this blonde gal walks into a neighborhood bar where she's never been before, but she's got tits out here and a tight little hiney, and she asks the bartender for a Michelob, and he serves her a Michelob, except he sneaks a Mickey Finn into her bottle. And so this blonde goes unconscious, and every guy in the bar leans her over the edge of the pool table, hikes up her skirt and fucks her. And at closing time, they slap her awake and tell her she's gotta leave. And so every few days, this gal with the tits and the ass walks in and asks for a Michelob and gets a Mickey Finn and gets fucked by the crowd. Until one day, she walks in and asks the bartender, can he maybe give her a Budweiser instead? Granted, I have not landed this particular Shaggy Dog story since I was in first grade. But my old man used to love this next part. The bartender smiles so nice and says, what? You don't like Michelob no more? And this real looker, she leans over the bar all confidential and she whispers, just between you and me, she whispers, Michelob makes my pussy hurt. The first time I heard that joke, when my old man taught it to me, I didn't know what was pussy. I didn't know Mickey Finn. I didn't know what folks meant when they talked about fucking. But I knew all this talk made my old man laugh. And when he told me to stand up and tell the joke in the barbershop, it made the barbers and every old man reading detective magazines laugh until half of them blew spit and snot and chewing tobacco out their noses. Page 5. Now the grown-up daughter tells her old dying father this joke. Just the two of them, alone in their hospital room. Late. Now the grown-up daughter tells her old dying father this joke, just the two of them, alone in that hospital room, late at night, and guess what? Her old man doesn't laugh. So the daughter tries another old favorite. She tells the joke about the traveling salesman who gets a phone call from some farmer's daughter he met on the road a couple of months before, and she says, "Remember me? We had some laughs, and I was a good sport." And the man says, "How are you doing?" And she says, "I'm pregnant, and I'm gonna kill myself." And the salesman, he says, "Damn! You are a good sport." At 7 years old, I could really put that joke out. Put that joke over, but tonight, the old man's still not laughing. How I learned to say, "I love you," was by laughing for my old man, even if I had to fake it. And that's all I want in return. All I want from him is a laugh. Just one laugh. And he's not coming across with even a giggle. Not a snicker. Not even a groan. And worse than not laughing, the old man squints his eyes shut tight and opens them, brimming with tears. And one fat tear floods out at the bottom of each eye and washes down each cheek. The old man's grasping his big, toothless mouth like he can't get enough air, crying big tears down the wrinkles of both cheeks, just soaking his pillow. So this kid, who's nobody's little kid, not anymore, but who also can't seem to forget these jokes, she reaches into her pants pocket and gets out a fake carnation flower that, just for laughs, sprays water all over the old crybaby's face. So this kid, who's nobody's little kid, not anymore, but who can't seem to forget these jokes, she reaches into her pants pocket, gets out a fake carnation flower that just for laughs sprays water all over the old crybaby's face. And the kid tells about the bullock who's carrying a rifle through the woods. And he comes across a naked girl lying back on a bed of soft green moss with her legs spread. And this gal's a real looker. And she looks at the pullock and his gun and says, "What are you doing?" And the pullock says, "I'm hunting for game." And this real looker, she gives him a big wink, ding. And she says, "I'm game." So, pow! Pullock shoots her. It used to be this joke constituted a gold-plated, bona fide, sure thing laugh riot, but the old man just keeps dying. He's still crying, not even making an effort to laugh, and no matter what, the old man has got meat halfway. I can't save him if he doesn't want to live, and so I ask him, "What do you get when you cross a faggot with a kike?" And he's still not getting any better. I'm thinking maybe the cancer's gotten to his ears. With the morphine and what all, it could be he can't hear me, so just to test, can he hear me? I lean into his fucking crybaby face and I ask, "How do you get a nun pregnant?" And then, more loud. Maybe too loud for this being a mackerel snapper hospital, I yell. You fucker! In my desperation, I try fag jokes and wetback jokes and kite jokes. Really, every effective course of treatment known to medical science. And the old man's still slipping away, lying here in this bed. Is the man who made everything into a big joke. Just the fact that he's not biting scares the shit out of me. And I'm yelling, knock, knock. And when he says nothing in response, it's the same as him not having a pulse. And I'm yelling, knock, knock. I'm yelling, why did the existentialist cross the road? And he's still dying. The old man's leaving me, not knowing the answer to anything. He's abandoning me while I'm still so fucking stupid. In my desperation, I reach out to take the limp blue fingers of his cold, cold dying hand. And he doesn't even flinch. Not even when I cried a joy buzzer against the blue skin of his ice-cold palm. I'm yelling, knock, knock. And I'm yelling, why'd the old lady walk out on her husband and her four-year-old kid? Nothing kills a joke like asking my old man to explain himself and lying there in that bed. He stops breathing. No heartbeat. Totally flatlined. So this kid who's sitting beside in this hospital room late at night, she takes the joke equivalent of those electric paddles doctors use to stop your heart attack. The hee-haw equivalent of what a paramedic Robin Williams would use on you in some clown emergency room. A kind of Three Stooges defibrillator. And the kid takes a big, creamy, heaped-up custard pie topped with a thick, thick layer of whipped cream. The same as Charlie Chaplin would save your life with. And the kid reaches that pie up sky high overhead, as high as the kid can reach, and brings it down hard, lightning fast, like dunking it hard as the blast from the Pollock shotgun, pow, right in her old man's kisser. And despite the miraculous, well-documented healing powers of the comedic arts, my old man dies, taking a big bloody shit in his bed. No, really, it's funnier than it sounds. Please, please, don't blame my old man. If you're not laughing at this point, it's my fault. I mean, I just didn't tell it right. You know, you mess up a punchline and you can totally botch even the best joke. For example, I went back to the shop and told him how he died and how I tried to save him, right up to and including the custard pie, and how the hospital had their security goons escort me up to the crazy ward for a little 72-hour observation. And even telling that part, I fucked it up. Because those barbershop guys just looked at me. You know, I told them about seeing and smelling my old man dead and smeared all over with blood and shit and whipped cream, all that stink and sugar. And they looked and looked at me. The barbers and the old guys chewing tobacco, and nobody laughed. Standing in that same barbershop all these years later, I say, knock, knock. The barbers stop cutting hair. The old goobers stop chewing on their tobacco. I say, knock, knock. Nobody takes a breath, and it's like I'm standing in a room full of dead men. And I tell him, death. Death is there. Don't you people ever read Emily Dickerson? You never heard of Jean Paul Stewart? Buckle my eyebrows and tap the ash from my invisible cigar and say, who's there? I say, I don't know who's there. I can't even play the violin. What I do know is I've got a brain filled with jokes I can't ever forget, like a tumor the size of a grapefruit inside of my skull. And I know that eventually even dog shit turns white and stops thinking. But I have this permanent head filled with this crap. I've been trained my whole life to think that it's funny. But for the first time since I was a little stooge, standing in that barbershop saying fag, and cunt, and kike, I figured out that I wasn't telling a joke. I was the joke. I mean, I finally get it. Understand me. A bona fide gold-plated joke is like a Michelob served ice cold with a Mickey fin by somebody smiling so nice that you won't ever know how badly you've been fucked. And a punchline is called a punchline for a very good reason, because punchlines are a sugar-coated fist with whipped cream hiding the brass knuckles that socks you right in the kisser, hitting you pow right in your face and saying, I am smarter than you, and I am bigger than you, and I call the shots here, buddy boy. And standing in that same old Saturday morning barbershop, I scream, knock, knock. I demand, knock, knock. And finally, one old barbershop conjurer says in barely a tobacco whisper, so soft you can barely hear him, he asks, who's there? And I wait a beat, just for the tension. My old man, he taught me that timing is crucial. Timing is everything. Until finally I smile so nice. And I say, radio not.